Hello everyone, welcome to Educators. Today we are going to discuss a very important and really very interesting topic, and that is microcontrollers. Yes, the same device which is controlling your cell phone, maybe your electronic device, your computers, your television and almost all other stuff. This microcontroller has completely revolutionized our world and it has changed the way we have been living. Because of the microcontrollers, we are being able to do tasks which were never possible. The storage size of the computers nowadays, or the storage of your phone itself, has increased by thousands of times. There are billions of bits of data in your computer, in your phone as well. And that's because of the revolution in the microcontrollers and also the microprocessors. So let's start with the introduction of this topic. The microcontroller is a complete microprocessor system consisting of microprocessor, some limited amount of RAM, ROM and input and output. The RAM is random access memory and the ROM is read-only memory. If you don't know the difference between both of them, you can watch another of my session. You may get it on the podcast itself. So, with all these components combined together, this system is built on a single IC. IC is an integrated circuit. Building a complete microprocessor system on a single chip substantially reduces the cost of building simple products which use microprocessors' power to implement their functions. It's very easily understandable. If you make all the stuff on a single chip, the cost effectively decreases because less amount of products are required. A single manufacturing unit, if capable of doing all the stuff together, you may not require different machineries, different manufacturing units, different manpower, different components. So rather make the things easier, smaller, and go on making them so small that they are at the scale of atoms now. And that's the scale at which current technology is working, at the scale of atoms. So, a 4-bit microcontroller was first built in the mid-1970s. That's the 1970s time, almost 50 years ago. Think of it, only 50 years of growth and development, and we have reached a different level, a completely different level, where we are capable of doing things which were not at all possible 50 years ago. And 50 years is not a big time. Even the car revolution is taking us almost 150 years and we still are on the petrol and the diesel versions. We have not yet completely scaled to the electric version, but in case of microcontrollers, we scaled in 50 years from even not a megabyte, even from a kilobyte to a gigabyte and much more. So, the microcontroller is very commonly used today and it is available in wide variety of intelligent products. For example, most personal computer keyboards are implemented with a microcontroller. Do you know that your keyboard has another microcontroller which actually converts the command of you which you are pressing into some code, and this code goes to the computer processes it, and then it finds what you are trying to say or what information you are trying to convey. So your microcontroller is present in the keyboard. Many low-cost products such as toys, electric drills, microwave ovens, VCRs are based on microcontrollers. Intel 8051 is a very popular 8-bit microcontroller, and we will study its architecture and programming model soon. So, without wasting any time, let's start with the 8051 architecture and its programming model. The 8051 is a second generation 8-bit microcontroller. The first 8-bit microcontroller was for 8048. Just after 8048, Intel doubles the amount of ROM and RAM with 8049. 8051 provides a significantly more powerful architecture, a more powerful instruction set, and a full serial port. In fact, in 8052, the size of ROM and RAM is even more expanded. So you can see in the time of even 3 or 4 years, the growth is vast. I mean, in 1 or 2 years, Intel actually doubles the amount of RAM and ROM. So the growth started in the 1970s itself and it was growing at a huge rate. It was not like a slow process, it was like a fast process, like a very steep curve of graph. So, let's see the major features of 8051, because 8051 is a very useful and it is very usually found in many devices, very commonly found. So the 8051 has an 8-bit arithmetic logic unit. It has 4K into 8 ROM, 128 into 8 RAM, dual 16-bit timer event counter, 32 input output lines. It addresses 64 kilobytes of program memory, 64 kilobytes of data memory, powerful 111 instruction set, and a full featured serial port, also up to 12 megahertz of clock and 2 external interrupts. By the way, all this information which I am giving you currently with a lot of emphasis is nothing, is almost nothing in comparison of today's technology. So just chill, you are way ahead from this. Now, the architectural block diagram for 8051 will be available on Google, of course. You may search for 8051 architectural block diagram and you will get the diagram. Over there you can see the external connections, which are very simple. Though they look complex, in the inner side you don't actually need to give attention to that part. You need to give attention to the external part, which is important for you if you are not doing a major. So the 32 pins are needed by the 4 8-bit bidirectional input output ports, and 8 additional pins provide power. They also allow you to connect clock crystal, and they provide few timing and control signals. So these are the functions of the architecture of the block diagram. The 8051 architectural block diagram has a lot of components. The center of this diagram shows the 8051 CPU. The outside shows the input and output ports. It's obvious that the ports will be on the outer side, or else connection will be not possible. So the input output ports through the buffer are used to transfer the data. The internal view of 8051 is for sure complex if you are not very much good at it. So in the 8051 inner view, you will see a lot of complex components, and don't worry, we are going to discuss all of them in the next part. So stay tuned. Make sure to save the podcast in your favorites so that you are always updated, and even the most wasted time by other people can be utilized by you. For example, many people do waste their time in listening to music. You can rather use that time to listen to the podcast. It will help you to revise your concepts and you will surely score better. So all the best for your exams or whatever you are doing at, and stay tuned. Hello everyone, welcome back to Educators. After discussing the introduction to microcontroller in the microcontroller episode, now we are moving towards overview of other microcontrollers in the 8051 family. Let's start with 8052. 8052 is a simple expansion of the 8051, and it has 8 kilobytes of onboard ROM and 256 bytes of onboard RAM. 8052 allows programmers to write larger programs and that can use more data. The cost of 8052 is of course more than that of 8051, and 8052 allows the user to have an extra 16-bit counter timer. This counter timer gives more flexibility. 8051 and 8052 are normally used in high volume applications. For the low volume and prototyping applications, there are special versions which are called as 8751 or 8751 and 8752 or 8752. These replace the onboard ROM with EPROM. Now ROM is read only memory, and EPROM is erase program read only memory. So what's the difference between ROM and EPROM? EPROM is using ultraviolet light, and with this ultraviolet light you can reprogram the memory with externally applied electrical signals. That's the advantage of using EPROM over ROM. Now there is a deficiency in the amount of space in the 8751 and 8752, and that's the reason they use EPROM, or else they could have used the ROM as well, because EPROM is used in devices or microcontrollers which are doing a prototyping application or which are doing low volume applications. So there are also two another versions of 8051 and 8052, which are 8031 and 8032. These devices do not have any onboard ROM. You can use external ROM for program memory, and these are external devices for prototyping and low volume products. Again, so 8031 and 8032 are meant for low volume products and prototyping. Also, 8751 or 8752 are meant for again low volume applications or prototyping. But the difference between 8751, 8752 and 8031, 8032 is that 8031 and 8032 use an external ROM and RAM. So you can use the ROM which is provided by the product. Inbuilt RAM is not available. On the other hand, in the 8751 and 8752, there is a EPROM available, which is Erase Program Read Only Memory, which has already been discussed now itself. So the third form of 8052 is 8052AH Basic. This special 8052 has basic programming language in ROM, and by using basic instructions, a programmer can write instructions for these 8052 rather than an assembly language. So that's all about the basic part of overview. Then we move to the architectural block diagram of the 8048, 8049 and 8015. Till now we have discussed about 8051, 8052, 8751, 8752, 8031 and 8032. Now, the architectural block diagram for Intel 8048, 8049 and 8050 is also available. These three have very identical architectural block diagram to that of 8748, 8749 and 8750. If you try to understand all the stuff which I have been saying, you may understand there is a constant relation that from 8048 we moved up to 8052, that's 8048, 8049, 8050, 8051 and 8052. In the same way, we move from 8748 to 8752. In a manner, 8748, 8749, 8750, 8751 and 8752. And as said now, all of them have a lot of similarities. So maybe 8048 will be very much similar to 8748, 8049 will be similar to 8749 and it goes on in this manner. So rather try making some relations in these microcontrollers, because they are many. Every company can make one of them. And you cannot learn all of them at a time. So rather make relations in them, make them into smaller groups so that you can learn those groups and understand a complete idea about what they are meant to be doing. So the 8048, 8049 and 8050 have identical architectures with the exception of the memory size. The memory size maybe can go on increasing or maybe can go on decreasing. So in each case, the memory doubles. As said, from the first part, that is the introduction of to microcontroller, we have seen that from 8748 or even from 8048, the memory size doubled in 8049. In the same manner, it goes on doubling itself. So 8048 supports 1 kilobyte of internal memory, 8049 supports 2 kilobytes, 8050 supports 4 kilobytes. So you can understand the order goes on. The 8048 has 64 bytes internal RAM, including 32 bytes of register memory location, and it has a total of 128 and 256 bytes of RAM respectively. So this is the manner in which the RAM and the ROM go on increasing. Next, we are going to see the applications of microcontroller in the next episode. So stay tuned, and luckily we have completed the entire chapter of Introduction to Microcontroller or Microcontroller's Basic Part in just 3 simple sessions. So keep on listening and keep on growing yourselves. Now we discuss the applications of microcontroller. Microcontroller is a single chip microcomputer. They are used as independent controllers in machines or as slaves in distributed processing. They are used as machine tools, chemical process, medical instrumentation and sophisticated guidance control. Some applications require simple timing and bit set reset functions. Others require high speed data processing capability. Many low cost products such as electronic tiles, microwave ovens, VCRs are based on microcontrollers. And a home security system, a tape deck and intelligent multimeter can also be used by microcontrollers, and they can also be built by microcontrollers. So the personal computer keyboards are implemented with a microcontroller. It replaces scanning, debounce, matrix decoding and serial transmission circuits. Hence, applications of microcontroller are many, and hence it is a useful device.